We'll go to the next one. And we'll now let's see, God is giving us his address. P.O. Box God. Where can we find him? Because, you know, Krishna says, keep your mind on me, remember me. Where are you? You know, what do you look like? How can I find you? So Krishna has made it very simple for us. Verse number 61. Ishvara sarva. No, I'll chant first and you repeat and then together after that. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Riddheshirjuna tishthati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani. Yantrarudhani mayaya. Now we can chant together. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Riddheshirjuna tishthati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani. Yantrarudhani mayaya. One more time. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Riddheshirjuna tishthati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani. Yantrarudhani mayaya. One more time. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Riddheshirjuna tishthati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani. Yantrarudhani mayaya. The reason I did it three times, Gurudev Swami Chinmayanandaji, in his audio commentary, this particular verse, he said, is such an important verse that he made everybody chant three times. And he said, this is a verse that one should memorize and make it a part of your thinking. Because among all the 700 verses, there are very few verses that are that important and that powerful as this one. So that's why Gurudev said this is the verse that one should definitely remember. So that he actually made everybody chant three times in his class. So Ishvara, the Lord, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Destroyer, Bhagavan, Sarva Bhutanam, in all beings means animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, all living creatures, Riddeshe. Rit means the heart, desh means the location, the place. So stays in the heart, Arjuna tishthati, resides. So where does God reside? In the heart of all beings, Arjuna. And then what does he do there? What does he do in the heart? Brahmayan, it revolves, rotates, sarva bhutani, rotates every one of us. Yantra rudhani mayaya, yantra rudhani, arunani. As if mounted on a machine. So he's rotating all of us. Yantra arudhani maya. By the power of his maya, he's rotating every one of us as if mounted on a machine. Think about it. 8,000 years ago, the language he used is engineering language that we would say today. You know, how does the motor, you know, how does the belt move? It gets mounted on the motor. As the motor moves, the belt moves. And that's how, you know, the machine works. That's how the car runs. So this language is amazing, that this kind of language, 8,000 years ago, the Lord himself used this language. So he says, the Lord resides in the heart of all beings and rotates every one of us as if mounted on a machine. And what is the power? The power is maya. Just as in a car, the power is gasoline. In an electric motor, the power is electricity. So here the power is maya. So let us see, what do we mean by heart? What do we mean by where God resides and what is maya? So these are some important topics. So we'll need to think about them a little bit. So when they say heart, it's not the physical heart. It's not the pumping heart. If it was the pumping heart, then it would be easy for a cardiac surgeon. He would open the heart and say, look here, left ventricle. See, God is sitting here. Then God would say, hi, I'm here. Then cardiac surgeons would be realized masters because they would see God right away. But that's not the case. it's not, God is not there physical in the physical heart. When they talk about Rit, what the heart they mean is the emotional heart. Like they say, oh, he has a big heart. You know, big heart does not mean that he has left ventricular enlargement. When they say big heart means he is very generous, he is very loving, very, or the heart of the country. Now, the heart of the country is not, there's no pumping heart, but the heart is where the essence is, like Washington, D.C. You know, that's where the heart of the country is. That's where the capital is. That's where the president and, you know, all the legislators, senators, congressmen. So in the human being, when they talk about the heart, it is the heart where all the good qualities reside, where qualities like love, trust, giving, compassion, unselfishness. So where the good qualities reside, that's where God is. So if you want to find God, find in the good qualities. Also, the heart is the essence or the core of my personality. That is considered called heart. You know, what am I really? In this way, they say he's a mean-hearted person. You know, that means what? He does not have those good divine qualities. In fact, there is a story about Bhagwan and Naradji. Some of you must have heard it. So he said God was talking to Naradji one time. And he says, Naradji, I need your advice. So Naradji says, God, you need my advice? Yeah, I need your advice. He says, what? He says, it's like that. You know, man has become very smart. He says, I tried to hide in space and he even reached space. I tried to hide in the bottom of the ocean. He went to the bottom of the ocean. Top of the mountain, he's there. Underground, he has made mines. Everywhere, I have no place to hide, you know, and God, you man will find me. So Naradji says, God, I'm giving you a very simple formula. He says, what? He says, go and hide in his heart. He will never find you because man by nature is extrovert. You know, we are always looking for things outside. Oh, I want this. And nobody has time to look within. And same way, we think God is somewhere out in temple or church or mosque or in heaven. So hide in his heart and he will never find you. So the point of the matter is that the Lord is within us. It is like the gasoline. Just as the gasoline is running the car, you don't see the gasoline after you have pumped it in. But you know that it is the gasoline that is inside. Without gasoline, the car will not run. Or like electricity, you don't see electricity, but if you see the lights on, you know there is electricity. Tomorrow, now in the summer, the fan will be rotating. Electricity does not rotate, but in the presence of electricity, the fan rotates. So God himself does not do anything, but in his presence, the fan is rotating. In his presence, I am talking, I am listening, I am walking, I am laughing. So whatever I am doing is because of God's presence, and it is there in all beings. The plants are growing, the fish are swimming, the birds are flying, because Ishwara is there, Hriddeshe, in their heart. And it is rotating not only human beings, but also the whole universe. Think about it, the earth is rotating. Now suppose the earth stops rotating even for a few hours. What will happen? The side on the sun will get burnt completely and it will be burnt to ashes and the other side will freeze. Just a few hours if this earth does not. But it's gentle, constant rotation. So, you know, the sun is warming one side and the other side is in the night and in the dark. But even a few hours, one day, if it doesn't, there'll be no life on earth. So everything is rotating, you know, the whole universe. That's why the Kathopanishad says that it is because the power of the sun that gives light, the power of the Lord that gives light to the sun and the moon. The rain falls because of the sun. The winds move because of fear of the sun. Because of the fear of the Lord, or, you know, the rain falls because of the presence of the Lord. So everything is happening because of the Lord's presence. The rain, the sun, the moon, the wind, the tides, the whole rotation of the earth, everything is maintained such beautifully in place because of the Lord. So he is in our heart. So look within. And that's what they say, the essence of everybody is the same. So when we see somebody, God and is in me, God is in you. And in the 16th chapter, he says, these people who are mean to others or who are hateful, he says, they are hateful to me and to other, me who is in you and me who is in all. So if I'm doing something wrong, I'm hating myself, God who is within me. Not only that, but when I'm harmful to somebody else, I'm hurting God in them. So Krishna says, when you are doing something wrong, you're hurting me in yourself and hurting me in others. Even if I'm hurting an individual, I shouldn't say I hurt that person, but I hurt God. And same thing, when I'm angry, when I'm doing something negative, then I'm hurting God within me. Pradishwanti, he says, they become my enemies. That's the exact word he uses in the 16th chapter. That's why when we do puja and you offer a flower, you first touch it to your heart and then you offer it to Bhagwan. The idea being that I am offering it to the Lord within and to the Lord outside. And you have to recognize that the divinity in me is very important. And Swami Ishwarananda Ji, in his commentary, he says that we have to recognize the sanctity of our being, that we are all, you know, divine individuals. God is in within us. Unless you recognize the sanctity of your own being, you will not act divine. You have to realize that I am a divine soul. God is in me. How can I then be bad? How can I be evil? How can I be selfish? How can I be violent? How can I be hateful? The example he gives in his commentary, he says that suppose there is a person, a child who is born in an orphanage. I mean, right after birth was put in the orphanage. And then he doesn't know who his family is, who his parents are. He gets some minimum education and then he's sent out into the world. Now he's working, but it's possible that when he's faced with adverse situations, he may give in. It may happen. But if a person belongs to a very spiritual family, comes from a family of, you know, very nice people, his father, grandfather, they were priests and very spiritual people, going to the temple and praying and doing so much good. And if he goes out into the world and if he does something, people will say, you know, look, you know, what family you belong to? How come you are behaving like that? Or he himself might think, you know what? What would my father think? Or what would my grandfather think? I come from such a prestigious family and I am doing so bad. So that is called being aware of your own nature, that I am a sanctified individual. I am a saint. I am God is in me. So I should behave as if God is in me, not behave as if devil or rakshas is in me. And so Krishna says, Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rodhani, just as a motor is moved, so similarly, my presence of my maya is my shakti, which moves everybody. Now, maya is actually a very difficult topic. Actually, you can speak for hours about it. But I'll try to briefly cover this topic of maya. It's a very interesting topic. So Krishna says, Devi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So Krishna says this power of mind, which is the creative power, is daivi. It is divine power, but it is very difficult to cross over. You know, people say, main maya ke janjal mein phas gaya hun. I'm caught in this maya, I can't get up. Or you say, dunya ki maya, and all, you know, all these words we use. So what is maya? So Krishna says that maya is my creative power. The world actually cannot be created, was not created. So what do you mean not created? I see the world, you are here, that means you are not, you don't exist, I don't exist, this table doesn't. Creation is not possible. You know, we need a little time, so please think about it. Now, to create something, there are two methods, right? That I take a clay and I make a pot out of it. What did I do? I took the clay and made a pot. Now, pot was already in the clay, right? I didn't create the pot out of nothing, because matter cannot be created or destroyed. So clay, I modified it and made it into a pot. And the pot was already in the clay. And pot has all the characteristics of clay, right? Can pot be separate from the clay? Like if I make jewelry out of gold, now jewelry has gold in it. Jewelry cannot say I don't have any gold. Jewelry will be exactly like gold, except it will be 24 karat, same color, except, you know, some modification that the jeweler may have done. So think, now the God is Sat, means existence, Chit means consciousness, and Anand means bliss. Now from Sat, Chit and Anand, how can this world come out? Because the world, didn't we say the pot has to have all the characteristics of mud? Now, is the world Sat, existing? No. The world is temporary. God is permanent, right? Sat means permanent. World is temporary. It is changing. I am here today, won't be here tomorrow. This building was not here 10 years ago, you know. So everything is changing. So how from the changeless God can the changing world come out? World should have the same characteristics as God, right? Just as the pot should have the same characteristics as mud, jewelry has same character. So how can the world be so different from God? If it came out of God, it should be the same as Him, right? It is different. God is Chit, is all-knowing, and we are ignorant. You know, we don't know all. We are not all-knowing. Maybe I know English, Hindi, Spanish, a few languages, but I don't know Russian, I don't know German, I don't know nuclear physics. So there's so much we don't know. Then God is Anand. And what are we? Dukh. Right? Sooner or later, all our life ends up in Dukh. Okay, for a while you are happy, and then sorrow and joy will come. And He is eternal, blissful. So if He is Sat, Chit and Anand, and we are Asat, we are ignorant, we are sorrowful, how can we say that God has created this world? Secondly, clay had to be modified to make into a pot, right? You had to change the shape. Clay was in a flat shape, so you make it round and you put it in the oven and you modify it. Gold was, you know, in a bar, and it had to be modified to make necklace, you know, bangle. So God, can He be modified? No. God is avyayam. Brahman is avyayam, changeless. That is the first characteristic. So from a God, a Brahman who is changeless, who is existence, consciousness, bliss, how did this changing world come? That is sorrow, that is temporary, that is ignorant. So creation is not possible. Just as from a pot, from a mud you can make pot, from gold you can make jewels, but from Brahman you cannot create. Why? Because it is different. If it was created, came out of God, it had to have the same characteristics, right? Am I making some sense? So Krishna says that it is the Maya Shakti which created the world. And Shankaracharya ji very beautifully in his Dakshinamurti Stotram, he says, Maya viva vijrimbayat yapi maha yogi vaya svechaya. He says, just as a Mayavi, just as a magician, you know, with magic trick, he can create anything. Like if you go to Las Vegas, who's that famous, I forget his name, that famous magician?
Copperfield.
He actually brings a plane on the stage. He will make you believe that there is. How does he create that? It's a Maya, his magic. Actually, he had a whole Boeing one time on the stage. That's what I had heard. So how do the magician do that? It's all magic tricks. Nothing is real. And when he throws things and produces things, it's all a magic tricks. So similarly, just as a magician does that, so he is this magician. You know, he can. If he can, magician can create. For God, it is a child's play. So this world He has created like a magician. And what is the power of Shakti? Is the Maya Shakti as a trick, as an illusion. So He has created, just as the Copperfield creates an illusion in Las Vegas. So this whole world is an illusion. I'm not saying that this world is not is. But the world does not have that reality that we give it. It has a relative reality. It has a changing reality. So don't think that the world alone is ultimate, because underneath the world is the power of the Lord, and that is the power underneath you and me also. So do not give too much importance to the body, mind, the intellect, or the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, but look at the Om, the substratum, the support. So pay attention to that. What we do is we get so caught up in this delusory world that we don't have time to remember what is behind that. Who is the creator? Who is the support? Who is the... And from where this whole magic dream has come. So they say, treat the world like a play, like a magic, like a dream, like a movie, but do not give too much importance to it. Keep your goal in mind that I have to go back to my source, and that has to be so. Maya, they say, has two shaktis, two powers. One is called avarana, veiling, and one is called vikshep, projection. Everybody can read, right? The board. So avarana and vikshep is the shakti, is the power by which Maya creates the world. So avarana means veiling, and vikshepa means projection. It comes from the Sanskrit word kship. Kship means to throw. So having veiled the Lord from us, the Lord is hiding behind this Maya Shakti. Maya vikshep, it throws the world. So it creates a world, projects the world, having shielded the source from it. So with the source we are not able to see, but we are able to see the projection. Just like the movie, you know, where the movie is being projected from, you don't see that. It's behind somewhere in the projector. But what you see, your attention is on the movie, on the screen. But you do not pay attention to where it is being projected from. So similarly, Maya is projecting this world and creating this world. So we have to live in this world. We have to function. That's what I said. The journey has begun. But the end of the journey will come when we find the source. So this projection is like the example of the rope and the snake. All of you have heard that many times, but when I'm walking in the dark forest, it's not yet fully dark. The light is still a little bit there. It's getting dark, it's twilight, and I see a rope on the floor, but I project a snake because I don't see it very clearly. So it has the shape of a snake, so I get scared. Now, not seeing the rope as a rope, I project the snake upon it, right? Does the snake have any existence? No, snake has no existence, but the snake has the substratum of the rope. I see the rope, but because it's dark, I think it's a snake and I get scared. And if it touches my foot, I think I'm bitten. I start sweating. I start crying. So not seeing the rope as a rope, I project the snake. And what is the avarana? The avarana is the darkness. Because it is now dark, I don't see it. So similarly, because of the darkness of ignorance, I don't see God within us. I see only the projected world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. I see myself as the BMI. And so I suffer the consequences of this world. If you do not want to suffer the consequences, go to the source, go to the Lord and become one with Him. Then the world cannot touch you. That's why Krishna says, Kaunteya pratijanihi no me bhaktav pranashyati. Then I will take care of you. So that is the essence of this shloka, that see the world as it is, but we don't. See the world as the Lord Himself, as the projection of the Lord. We're not saying that God is not there in every one of us, but see the Lord. Do not get stuck on the superficial aspects of the world. Because we think that if I don't see God, then He doesn't exist. Now, you see the sky as blue. Is it really blue? No, it's not blue. Sky is actually, there's nothing like sky. As you go further and further and go into space, it's all black. There is nothing like blue. It is my illusion. Or like in the, you know, in the children, like when they, in Diwali, when they have that, those firecrackers, they rotate them round and round. It gives the appearance of a fire circle, right? Is it really a fire circle? No, it's an illusion of my eyes. So similarly, they say, do not get stuck in the illusion, but go to the source and find where the Lord is. So that's why God has given us how to find him. He says, go in your heart. That's why we tell everybody, meditate, because in meditation, we turn our attention from outward, inward, and so see God within and see God outside, see God in all. And then that will tell you, Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani, all beings are being rotated by me. So everything that I am doing, remember the Lord, be grateful to him, and note his presence at all times. So this is a very, very beautiful shloka. That's why Gurudev makes us chant three times, because this is something we should all memorize and bring it into our understanding. So that's why he made everybody chant three times. So I'll end with this. Any questions?
You said that example of electricity and fan. So feel electricity is our God and we are acting as a fan.
Yes.
So why our karma is bad karma? Because God is lying within us, then how yes. can he act bad? I mean, and why there is always say, like, you choose and whatever you choose, the result will come. If your karma is good, you will right. Get a good result, and your karma is bad, you will mm-hmm. get a bad result. But if the God is lying within us, then how can we act bad?
Right. I think the answer is that electricity is there in the bulb, right? But there is a small bulb will give small light. There is a big bulb will give big light. Red bulb will give red light. Blue bulb will give blue light. If the bulb is broken, it will give no light. If the bulb is covered by mud, the light will be dirty, right? So electricity is the same in all the bulbs. But depending on the nature of the bulb, is the light. So if the bulb is full of dirt, filth, electricity is still running. The bulb is on, but the light is not coming. So similarly, each and every one of us has the same Om, the consciousness, but it is the vasanas, which is like the dirt that is surrounding the Lord within us. And what the Lord has done has given freedom to humans. Humans are the only species that have been given the freedom to act and to choose. So the choice you make is whether you make good or bad choices. He does not impose his will on us. He gives us the energy to work, but does not tell us what to do with the energy. Like gasoline is in the car, and we have talked about before also. Now, whether you take the car to the temple or take the car to the bar and drink, gasoline has no fault in it, right? Gasoline says, I give you the energy. Do you want to go to the temple or do you want to go to the bar? So the choice you make, where you take the car, but the gasoline is not blamed. So God is like the gasoline. He's like the electricity. If the bulb is dirty, you cannot blame electricity. So similarly, if my heart is full of dirt, full of negative vasanas, then the divinity in me will be covered. And what will express is the dirt. So as you purify your mind, as you remove your negative vasanas, as you fill your heart with more love, compassion, kindness, slowly, slowly that dirt will be washed. The dirt, just as a bulb, if you clean it, then the light will shine. So similarly, if you clean your mind, then the Lord will shine. That's why when we are in the presence of saints, we feel very close to God, because their heart is so pure that they are very close to God, or they are become one with God. You know, that's why they should realize saints. So our choice is to whether we want to be negative or positive, whether you want to clean your bulb or keep it dirty. And the dirtier the bulb, the further away you will be from God. So God doesn't decide what you do. With animals, he doesn't give them a choice. Birds, plants, fish have no choice. Humans are the ones who have been given the intelligence to choose and the right action. So that's why you see so much good and bad people on this earth. Yes.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Yeah.
So let's assume the first birth of the human being.
Yes. You
know, and what made that person to do something bad or something good? No, this is the first birth.
No, there is no first birth. It is.
No, no. It has to be.
No, no, no. It is anadi. It is beginningless.
But whatever it is, you know, for me, let us say, I was born the first time.
Okay. And so Adam and Eve, their son, Cain and Abel, one killed the other, right?
Yeah.
So humans are like that. Even the first...
What made?
What made
him?
No, 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 no. Humans have always had. He gave us the freedom. So the competitive spirit came. You know, this is guy, why I should be more powerful than him. Humans are like that. We always compete.
No, but what made the choice? That's what I'm not going
by. He they gave them the freedom. See, he told Adam and Eve, if you believe in that do not eat that apple, right? They didn't listen. So humans are like that. We don't listen, even when God tells us. Krishna has told us in the Gita, but how many of us follow the Gita?
Okay, got this one. What made choose that way, why not this way?
He gave you the freedom to choose. Right. You made the wrong choice.
Made me choose that.
What made you choose? I don't know. You were given the freedom to think. You were given the freedom to think. And see, another thing is, when we are told something, we say, why not? God said, don't do this. Why should I not do it? What will happen? See, human beings are stupid that way. You know, because whenever our parents tell us something, we always want to do the opposite. Especially once we become teenagers.
What I was coming to is, even somebody is driving you to do the good or the bad, whatever it is, and that somebody is God, right?
No, that is you, your own thinking.
Well, who am I?
The first individual, he was given a BMI to think, and he made the wrong choice.
But the question is, how did that person make that wrong choice? That's what it is. I don't know what is wrong or right in the very first birth.
So, but now again, see, the competition came, not like the Adam and Eve, the two children, okay, there was nobody else. So both children were there. One said, I want to be stronger than the other guy. I want to be the king and not him.
God gave him the freedom of thought.
Freedom of thought. And he said, no, I want to be the king and I won't let my brother, and he killed him. Because competition, you know, that came first.
And also the swabhava makes a lot of difference too. Right.
Right. No, but he's saying,
elsewhere,
he's saying, where did the first swabhava come from?
But elsewhere it has been said, nothing moves without my consent.
Yes.
Okay, then Adam can give.
No, nothing moves without my consent means you cannot move without God's consent. But how you move is your choice. See, you cannot move without God. But like I said before, whether you could have come to the Gita class or you could have, you know, been watching TV or gone to the shopping mall. So he didn't tell you where to go. You know, all he gave you was the energy. The choice is yours. Now, you could not have gone to the Gita class or to the shopping mall without his consent. But then where you take this body is your choice. You have any other question?
According to God's desire, because he's the ultimate controller, creator, everything. So why are we being responsible for the choices that we make? Didn't he make us choose that?
No.
Or are we independent?
Yes. We have freedom.
So he created us, and our independent choice-making capacity is sometimes stronger than his will?
No, it's not. He doesn't will anything. He doesn't will. He's not telling you what to do with your life. He's giving you the life. He's giving you the manual how to live the life. But he's not telling you that you have to follow my Bhagavad Gita. No. He says, I've given you this and I've given you the freedom. Animal, lion doesn't have a choice. A buffalo doesn't have a choice. But you have a choice. This human being was his finest creation. He said, I'm going to create a human being who will have a freedom to choose and become like me. A buffalo cannot become God, but you can. You can become like him, or a monkey cannot. But human beings, so he gave us the freedom to choose. He gave us the manual, what to follow. It's a guidebook. If you don't read your manual and then you start, you know, you can't turn on your computer or your phone or your, we don't, because unless you read the manual. So this is the manual of life. If we don't follow it, then you will not run the life in the right direction. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, so what's the ultimate purpose for this Maya? I mean, I know you were saying, you know, it gets covered, it gets dirty. You know, it's more like a deception. So why have this to begin with? You know, why even have this deception?
Otherwise, there would have been no world. Then you would and I would not have been here. So then God was alone and he was fine. But then he said, let me create, let me become many.
So
So he created. Huh? What?
You want to have fun.
Okay,
no.
I'm going to make you like me, but I'm going to give you this independent
yes.
will, and I'm going to give the deception. And now you just keep going round and round and
no,
round.
No, don't keep going. Why you keep going? You have been told by the Gita where to go. Why do you have to go round and round? He put the Bible. He
so
sent his.
He created without Maya, and then he would have been walking in a straight line.
No, we would not have been created, because then God alone was. To make many out of one, he had to use this power of Maya to project what he is not. So he created this beauty. Actually, before man came, the world was beautiful. Garden of Eden was perfect. It is man who came and messed up this world because he gave us the freedom. Before man came, was there any problem on this earth? No. The earth was working fine. Planets were working, plants.
Say is right, that we are all born sinners.
No, not we are not born sinners. Yeah, man, but not all men. There are good and bad both. Not all men are not sinners. There are good people and bad people also. I'm not saying all men are bad. That's why we have saints. That's why we have Mahatmas. That's why we have such, you know, good people. The earth is running because of good people. If the earth was all bad people, we would have killed each other a long time ago. The earth is running. They say the rain falls, you know, for who? Not for you and me. It falls for the Mahatmas who are sitting in the Himalayas. The people who are sitting in the monasteries, and the rain is for them, not for you and me. The God is. So the world is running because of good people.
Sir, I tell you one thing. Right. Before the man made, there was a Dev and Asur, Rakshas and Dev. But it's God decision to make man. So how can you distinguish between, like, if you make man, what are the characteristics you will give in man? I feel like that.
No, that's true. Pandavas and Kauravas are all within us. We have Pandavas and we have Kauravas. We have 100 Kauravas and 5 Pandavas. Means we have 5 good and 100 evil tendencies. The choice is, and who will win? Whoever side God is on. If we choose God, then the Pandavas will win. If we don't choose God, the Kauravas will win. So the Mahabharata is not happening 10,000 years ago or 8,000. It's happening day and night in our own life. Yeah.
So not only do we have difficulty doing the right thing, we can't even see the right thing.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yes.
We see around the world, if you look at it, the most popular news is when bad things happen.
Right.
Good things we don't see. Unless and until you have some difficult time in your life,
right,
you are not able to see the good things.
Exactly. That's true.
Intelligent, when they say, you know, there is intelligence and mind, you know, like, God has given us the
intelligence,
but still we are not able to put it in the right direction.
We make
our mind is more
powerful. We make the wrong choices, right.
At certain age, we don't even understand. That's why I was thinking, so that apart from all religions, they should start teaching something like this from first grade, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids, they have no idea what it is.
That's true. No, that's true.
If they see somebody else have a nice phone, it's human nature. I want to have that too. I mean,
right. I think we are. No, you're right.
We were taught this in our childhood.
But not now.
It's just that it never interested us.
Right. I think we'll have to end because I have to tell the children about the next. So, but we can continue this discussion. This can go a long time. But thank you everybody for contributing. I really appreciate that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukhavasa. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Namaha Hari Om.